Welcome back to the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is going to be podcast 600. So I've done 600 podcasts. I feel like I should do something special, but the next big special will be 1,000 podcasts. So we have a long way to go for that. This is just going to be kind of a workaday podcast because this is the Bob Davis Podcast radio show number 65 for this week. It's a rare Saturday night podcast live in the studio. I just had a fantastic dinner, a bone-in ribeye steak with broccoli. Made a fresh cup of coffee, and I'm going to roll segment one of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. And after I'm done with the radio show, I'm going to go upstairs and watch some movies on Netflix. I'm pretty excited about that. So just ahead of segment one of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. There's something new and fun to do these days, whether it is a date night, business client appreciation event, a corporate team building event, something with your family, or a friend's night out. It's at Brush Studio West End in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Now, I can tell you that an artist will guide you through making and creating a painting. And I can tell you that you'll come away with a real painting, something you can hang on your walls at home or at work, something you and your friends and your coworkers or your family would be really proud of. But the other night, I actually went over to Brush Studio, and it's actually better if I take you inside a Brush Studio event a little bit, and you can kind of hear the reaction and what people do. So let's go on into Brush Studio.
Do you mind if I ask you some questions?
Sure.
You guys having fun?
Yes.
Yeah, tons of fun.
What are you painting?
We're painting birch trees and in the nighttime with a little cardinal.
We're trying.
So they give you paint, right?
Yeah, and you just follow the people at the front.
The person at the front.
Yeah, the person at the front. And then you just follow their breaks and everything. And yeah, I don't know.
It's really fun.
Different thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, on a Friday night.
And a fun thing to do.
Yeah,
we're having a good time. We got the whole family here.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So
I got my wife and our two sons and their fiance and one's girlfriend.
I didn't even know I could.
This is one, probably the most fun you can have at a job. Seriously. My favorite part is when people just completely go off the rails and do something that I would never think of or other people wouldn't think of, but they came here with like an intention. It's a thing to do on a Friday night that isn't watching TV, isn't going to a movie. You're being social with a group. You get a little wine or something, but it's not like that's all you're, like at a bar, that's all you're there to do, you know. I've been teaching for 22 years, I make all kinds of stuff on my own.
You look like an artist. You
what?
Fun?
Oh,
you
absolutely.
You look like an artist.
I just found my inner artist.
Your inner artist.
Yeah.
Brush Studio in the West End St. Louis Park. 22 brands of beer, an extensive wine collection, catering from Crave in the West End. You're going to have a good time because they are event planning ninjas at Brush. Date night, client appreciation, corporate team building, family, friends, they'll all be great. Sign up online at Brush Studio in the West End St. Louis Park at brushstudio.net. Brushstudio.net, or you can reach out to Brush at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. Brush Studio. Oh, by the way, there's plenty of parking in the West End St. Louis Park. Okay, here's segment one of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. Here we go. Roll it! Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. For all the podcasts, visit the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Well, it was taco night here at the Bob Davis Podcast broadcast bunker. So I just got finished with tacos. I have a giant cup of coffee. And in this show, usually, and they teach you this in radio, it's one of the reasons that radio can be so constricting, occasionally creatively for air talent. one of the things they teach you in radio is you're supposed to know what you want to talk about. You're supposed to have an idea beforehand, what you want to talk about, and you're supposed to promote it at the very beginning, at the top of the segment. And usually I do. Usually I have a whole thing planned out, and I know exactly where I'm going. But occasionally I like to air it out, and occasionally I like to bring a little bit of podcasting where we just kind of hang out to the radio show, and so that's kind of what I'm doing in this show. Just so you know, the genesis of this particular radio show was to bring content from my podcast back to the radio. Well, that lasted, I don't know, probably 35 or 36 weeks, and then I thought, you know, this isn't working anymore. It's just, why have... I started posting the radio show on my page at thebobdavispodcast.com, so it's up there with all the other podcasts, and it's essentially a podcast. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do that, then I'm going to have to do new content for the radio show every week. So then I started doing new content for the radio show. What's interesting about this is that the radio show has become kind of a repository for a lot of political stuff because... most of the radio stations that I'm on, of course, are political talk radio stations, and that's kind of, you know, where I cut my teeth. So this show has sort of ended up being kind of a chronicle of what has been going on politically ever since through the election, because I covered the primaries, and after the election, through the election, to election night and beyond. So... I almost sneezed. That sounded weird. So that's what we're gonna do tonight. We're just gonna drink coffee after having fantastic tacos and just talk about what's going on and what I've been doing this week. This has been a business week. You know, some weeks are weeks where I am steeped in the day to day and following everything that's going on. And we will talk about some of those things in this show. We'll talk a little bit about the district court and the appeals court decisions regarding Donald Trump's executive order, what some refer to as the Muslim ban, which I hate the term because I don't think that is very specific. I want to talk about that a little bit. I think I want to talk a little bit about the agenda. One of the things that bothers me, especially since I was doing other stuff, so I was doing podcast business stuff because I'm in business for myself. So I was doing podcast business stuff all week, meetings, calls. I did a couple of podcasts which have nothing to do with politics. One was an interview with a family that is living out of a camper and traveling all over the world. They're going to head down to Argentina. They're in Mexico right now. So we did a Facebook, or what do you call it, FaceTime interview, and I put that up as a podcast, and that was great because it's this whole thing about how, there's no time like the present. If you have something that you're really passionate about doing, that's up on the BobDavisPodcast.com page. Doesn't really translate well to a radio show. And then I did a podcast where I talked about the podcast business and how quickly the media is changing almost every social landscape in the business. And I'm not talking about social media. I'm not talking about social media. I'm talking about the way we interact, who we interact with, the things that we talk about, how we look at things. And I've been talking about this, you know, for a long time, but it's becoming obvious to me that there is a huge shift underway, very rapid shift underway from traditional broadcast and cable media to on-demand media, podcasts and shows like The Young Pope or, House of Cards or you name the show that you like to watch, Justified or Longmire or whatever. There's a huge shift to people watching stuff and time shifting and watching what they want when they want. And they're now beginning to get their news from these sources in the same way, whether it's social media or whether it is watching Vice News or, you know, going to TMZ.com or going to BuzzFeed or going to a favorite website of theirs, whether it's the Drudge Report or it's something that they trust, a source that they trust. For some people, it's Breitbart. For other people, it's Huffington Post or the Daily Cause, whatever, or Red State. These blogs and these, you know, sort of new media platforms are really gathering strength. They're not going away. They're gathering strength. And it's affecting, a lot. It's having a huge effect on things Because what we hear about is what is said on cable television and Fox News and CNN. I'm talking about cable 24-hour news services, what is said on NBC or CBS, or what somebody said on some show, or shows like Saturday Night Live, which are, you know, I mean, I'm not going to put these down. You know, a lot of times I attack them. I'm not going to do that, you know, tonight, and I'm not going to do that in this show because that's not the intention. It's just as an example, these shows that everyone talks about on the networks do not have the large audiences that they used to have. There are people on YouTube that are doing news shows, such as they are, who have larger audiences than CNN's weekly audience. So this is a significant change, rapidly moving forward in our society, and I'm not sure people are aware of it. So I did a podcast about the business of podcasting because my little corner of this world is podcasting. And there was a whole article somebody wrote recently about how podcasting is becoming actually a social media platform unto itself, and which is fascinating to me because I don't think of podcasting as social media. But they were talking about how quickly podcasts are becoming the norm in what people listen to and watch because they can listen to whatever they want to listen to. They can listen to the type of person that they want to listen to. They can listen to the point of view that they want to listen to, and they can listen to 4, 5, 6, 7 podcasts. They don't have to listen to just one podcast. So that doesn't leave much time for the local talk radio station. It doesn't leave much time for the evening news. It doesn't leave much time for network news shows. So unless people are, you know, watching television and sort of passing through those kinds of shows, even cable news like Fox News and CNN and so forth, they're not listening to the radio and watching television like they did even 4 or 5 years ago, even last year. This is moving very, very quickly. So I talked a lot about that. In fact, I had a conversation with some friends in Hollywood just today. And this is a well-known fact in Hollywood. You have people who are showrunners, you have people who are writers, you have people in California and Hollywood who are already making the move to Silicon Valley. They're making the move to digital. And as I said in the podcast, leaving the least imaginative and least competent people at the radio stations and the TV stations, because everybody who can is moving very quickly to some kind of digital media format, whether it's podcasting, YouTube, or, you know, even people on Vimeo or people doing different kinds of shows and presenting them on their websites, things of that nature. So there's a lot going on. And I, you know, we end up talking about what somebody said on a talk show like Bill O'Reilly or whatever. We end up talking about things that happened that I'm not sure anybody even sees. They hear about it because somebody posts a clip from the show on Facebook. But, you know, Facebook Live, if it's done right, can be more effective than almost any of those news and media sources. So I spent a lot of time this week thinking about that stuff, talking about that stuff, and kind of working on that stuff. So I know I want to talk about the courts, and I know I want to talk about I don't really need to talk about media anymore. So that leaves 2 segments coming up, but I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. So, yeah, welcome to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. I guess in the next segment, maybe I'll do a little history of this and how this all happened and why I'm doing it, and then we'll get into the Trump stuff and maybe sum it all up. And by the way, that crackling, that's me, and I know how to fix that, and I'll do that. We'll get that fixed in the next segment. That's just a quick technical comment. Static electricity issues. So that is all coming up next. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Just ahead of segment 2 for this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, I can't forget Hydrus. I think I mentioned in one of the podcasts that I was doing that I've now been using Hydrus for almost 2 years, and I can't imagine what yoga was like for me before I started using Hydrus, because without being hydrated for a yoga class, It's different. You sweat. You can get dehydrated, and of course, you know, you'll be sore because you don't know necessarily when you're dehydrated. And honestly, now the way I use Hydrus, so you drink Hydrus diluted in 16.7 or 16.2 ounces of water, basically a water bottle before, after, and during. So I usually mix up 4 bottles of Hydrus before I go to yoga, and I crank one down on the way. And then I drink 2 during, and then I drink 1 after, right? Because I'm nuts. I can't. 3 would be good, but why not 4? And I have noticed that this really helps my practice. I am definitely practicing. I'm getting down to what they call the grind in wrestling, where I feel like I'm actually getting better. And it really has transformed my yoga practice. I feel like I'm making faster progress. And it doesn't matter whether you are doing cycling inside or outside, CrossFit, lifting, competitive sports, whether you have relatives, sons, daughters, nephews, and nieces doing competitive sports, Hydrus will make a huge difference because it is a new high-performance beverage that uses new technology to get electrolytes into your muscles with unrivaled speed and effectiveness. Yes, they've done tests. No, there is no sugar in Hydrus, which makes it work even better. And the material in Hydrus is basically the same material that is that your body uses in its cells. So there's nothing unnatural in Hydrus. Hydrus helps me take it to the edge. 2 great flavors, lemon, lime, and orange. I think the orange is pretty good, but some people like the lemon, lime, especially the new lemon, lime flavor. And of course, taking it to the edge is what it's all about. Join the performance hydration revolution. There are tennis players and CrossFit athletes and wrestlers and all kinds of professional athletes, sailors, all sorts of people using Hydrus because it works. You go to HydrusPerformance.com. And they'll tell you where to get it, how to use it. There's some stories on there about who's using it and why and how it works for them. Hydrus Performance, H-Y-D-R-U-S, HydrusPerformance.com. Okay, here's segment 2 of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the podcasts, you go to the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Well, have we got our technical issues addressed? Did we get that done? Is that good? Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. So, yeah, I don't come into the radio station. I do the show from my own home studio where I do all the podcasts. And, you know, home studios are home studios. They're not like radio stations. And usually radio stations are, you know, they have groundings and issues to deal with static electricity. I don't have any of that stuff. So occasionally we get a buildup of static electricity and it causes these weird little crackly problems. So I fixed it, I hope. So, and the thing is, I can't hear it when I'm doing the show. So I have no idea if it's in there or not. But so, yeah, this is a short segment for the show. So this is the shortest little segment. So this is a good segment to talk about the genesis of where this show came from and what the whole idea was. So for people that don't know me, I am a podcaster. I've been podcasting since 2009, started when I got fired from a radio station. If you're from Minneapolis and St. Paul, it was KSTP. And they've, you know, no big deal. They switched to sports or something. So when I left, I didn't know what to do, and somebody said you should do podcasting, and I was like, I was furious. I was infuriated, and I was, how dare they suggest that I be relegated to some form of podcasting? And I called up one of my producers who now works at CCO, Kyle Sheely. You might know Kyle. And Kyle tried to walk me through putting up podcasts on iTunes, and oh my God, I was... it was so frustrating because the learning curve was ridiculous. But in the end, he finally said to me, you know, and I've told this story before, but he said, Bob, if you can do this, if I can do this, you can do this. Because he'd put up a couple of podcasts for wrestling or something. So, you know, I muscled my way through it and was very frustrating. The learning curve was ridiculous. But needless to say, I've been podcasting since 2009 and it's been quite a journey. And now you know, I'm in business podcasting. That's what I do. That's how I make my living. And my whole focus in life is growing the podcast business. And at one point, I was talking to the folks at GCNlive.com, and somebody said, you know, you should do a show and put it up on GCNlive.com and see if you can get it on some radio stations. So for about a year, we've been doing this show with GCNlive.com and working on getting some radio station affiliates. And, you know, that's a process because radio people are so lazy. And they and I was. When I was a program director, I was super lazy. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to talk to people that were syndicators. I didn't want to take syndicators' calls. So it's my own karma coming back to me on that front. But it's a process, not an event. But I still love radio. It's not that I don't like radio anymore because I'm a podcaster. I just think that the radio business is very challenged, as any broadcast medium is. They will eventually figure it out, and they'll figure out you know, how to make it relevant again. But for the time being, radio in general, television in general, broadcasting in general, is being supplanted. And it isn't just, you know, it's the traditional news sources. It's also the newspapers. It's also, you know, it's all of the traditional forms of media are being supplanted by new media, which is beginning to gather momentum and speed. And as I was saying in the podcast I did about business this week, you know, all my friends that are doing podcasting are seeing feeds grow. You know, day to day, we're seeing an increase in, and some of us are like, well, I didn't do anything. Why are the feeds starting to grow? In fact, I said the same thing. I noticed that my feeds were starting to grow. In other words, more people taking the feed, like a lot more. And I'm like, well, what happened? And I think what's happening is people are now starting to migrate into podcasting. In other words, listeners are migrating to podcasting much more quickly now. A recent Edison research poll said something like 35 to 36% of the public is listening to podcasts. That used to be 20. And I remember people writing stories saying, you know, it's probably less than 20. Well, I think it's more than 36% now. I'd say it's very close to the tipping point, so to speak, for this industry. And it's just one of the things that's happening. And so, you know, I'm still doing the podcasting, and I love it. It's a different medium than radio. It's a different medium than doing this show. So when I'm talking to you on the radio, and if you're listening to this at the BobDavisPodcast.com, it's a podcast. So, you know, it's weird. But I started the idea of this show is I was going to take content from the podcast and put it into the radio show, which turns out to be an awful lot of work. So if you listen to the early radio shows, you heard me doing that because I wasn't posting the radio show on my website. And then, you know, the idea was we were going to get revenue and they were going to, you know, people were going to sell the podcast from GCNlive.com and all this stuff was going to happen. And it's no big deal. It didn't. And so in order to monetize it, I thought, well, I'll put it on my website and it sounds better on the website. So then I started putting it on the website. So as a friend of mine who listens to the podcast was saying, so I'd be riding my bike on the trail and I would be listening to you introduce the radio show, then introduce a podcast, then come back and reintroduce the radio show, and my head was spinning. And I thought, maybe I just need to create new content for the radio show, and I've been really working hard at doing that. And that's why I said earlier that I've been sort of moving a lot of the political content to the radio show because it's on radio stations that also have other kinds of political content. And it seems to be working fairly well, you know, because then I have a place to put it. And then during the week when I do other podcasts, I may not do political content. So this week I did two podcasts having nothing to do with politics. Why am I doing that? Well, I think people are reaching a point of no return on the political front for a lot of reasons. And it isn't that the left doesn't like Donald Trump or that people don't like Donald Trump or that people like Donald Trump or anything else. It's just, I think that there's a level of fatigue from the election. Certainly, people on the right, people that voted for Donald Trump, probably don't feel as fatigued about it as people on the left. I remember that feeling when I was a partisan Republican and Barack Obama won the White House twice. I remember reaching that level of fatigue where I didn't even want to pay any attention to anything in the media. But I think this has to do with just reaching a level of insanity in terms of all the coverage and political talk in the world that people are just starting to look around and turn away and watch other things. And You know, I don't know how long that's going to go on. I don't know how significant that is, but I think that's a huge piece of what's going on. Unless you're a super politically involved person, you're almost not paying attention to it. Now, I do pay attention to it. I have hour-long, 2-3-hour-long conversations with my son who's doing, you know, some news-type oriented programming on YouTube. And we suss this stuff out, and I will do a radio show and a podcast with him in the near future where we talk some of this stuff out, because we've been fighting this stuff through, as he puts it, for the last 6 months or so, trying to get ahead of the curve. And that predicates not necessarily paying attention to the day-to-day media, but getting your getting clear on what your actual feelings and values are. I did a couple podcasts about that, too. So that's kind of where I'm at personally. And yes, we are going to talk about a couple things in the next segment. We really do. I want to talk about the judges, so we'll get to that next. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. So, you know, it's so cool because I don't ever get a chance to use Average White Band in the podcast, and I love the Average White Band. It's bizarre. It's been a long time since I heard Work to Do. That was pretty cool. So, you know, it's great to just kind of air things out a little bit in this podcast and not really be prepared, and it's this radio show, and not be prepared and not know what I'm going to talk about. That is really good to do occasionally, and I think it's really important because there's so much reaction going on to every little thing that is going on in the news. And one of the things that you're going to be hearing a lot about and in the news these days is all this talk about foreign manufacturing and how the new president feels about foreign manufacturing. And in this process, I'm going to just tell you, companies are planning for the political atmosphere. And if you're working for a major company that manufactures overseas, I am sure that there is some plan to bring some of the manufacturing back to the United States, if nothing else, for public relations. But actually, manufacturing in America can be cost-effective, and it can be much higher quality in some ways than manufacturing overseas, depending on what you're making. So if your company is considering American manufacturing, please remember DepoStar, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing. Visit DepoStar.com. That's DepoStar, DepoStar, DepoStar.com to learn more. All right, here's segment 3 of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. Listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the podcasts and to sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, visit the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Welcome back. So we've been having kind of a freewheeling conversation about just the week. And again, and I'm just going to say this very quickly so you know, usually I try to figure out what I want to use the radio show for, and I, you know, actually prepare content much more specifically and then go through it. Occasionally, I like to air out and let the seams show, basically, and that is what I'm doing in this podcast. Sometimes it's the best thing that you can do is just sit down with no notes and no preparation and no idea what you're going to talk about, except for maybe some of the stuff you've been thinking about, and do some segments, because I think it, first of all, I think it shows that those of us doing this have actually real lives and real personalities. And it's fun to do because the connections that you make on the air are sometimes really cool. And, you know, You can't get that when you write a script or when you're so prepared that you're essentially overprepped, which is one of my great sins as an air talent, is usually I'm way overprepped. And I'm so caught up in all the details, I don't know what to say. So I don't have that problem. I don't have that problem tonight. I'm drinking coffee, had some tacos. And one of the things I wanted to talk about is, and I'm going to take a different tack on the recent lawsuits regarding the president's executive order on immigration from war-torn countries. That's what I'll call it. And the decisions by judges, and in particular a district court judge in Washington, and now just recently an appeals court, which have upheld a stay, which basically means that the order is not in effect until the courts figure it out, work it out, and figure out the details. Now, this has produced a firestorm of response, both on the right and the left, but really this week it's been on the right. People just fulminating against these judges and how dare they. And people like Pat Buchanan saying we got to look at Article 3 of the Constitution and Congress has to act and Congress has to, you know, clip the wings of these judges and how dare they. And, you know, when I read that kind of stuff, my immediate reaction is, boy, every president has had problems with court decisions and laws being struck down or, being executive orders being struck down for whatever reason. You know, one of the things that comes to mind right away, obviously, were some of the issues with during the civil rights era, as well as wasn't there a line? Yeah, there was a line item veto at one point with Reagan, or maybe it was Clinton. I can't remember. And a court struck it down because they said it's unconstitutional. The president doesn't have that power. The power to budget is really congressional power. It's not the president's power because they had given him a line item veto on individual budget items. And it sounded like a great idea for people who were budget hawks, right? But it wasn't constitutional in the view of judges. And even then, it was just, we're never, the country's going to hell in a handbasket. We're never going to be able to survive this and so on. Now, it would be easy for me as a talk show host to and as a political podcaster to start into some tortured reasoning process of why I don't agree with the rulings of first the district court and then the appeals court. And to do that, I would have to read source documents, I would have to go through the Constitution, and I would have to read the decisions, and I would also have to reread the executive order. My own personal feeling is that the president is within his authority to decide how he wants to enforce immigration law. The court does not necessarily agree with that, and we'll have to see how it gets worked out. But here's where I'm going with this. It was no more than a week ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago, that people were shouting fascism and this is how Hitler came to power and we need to do something. There needs to be a coup. He needs to be impeached. All these things have to happen because we can't have this in this country. Remember that? And the power vested in the executive branch is enormous and this shouldn't happen and we need to do something. And this is the beginning of dictatorial activities by the president of the United States. Well, you know, I detailed how Abraham Lincoln, the great emancipator, really ruled the country by fiat during the Civil War. You know, you can say he had to, but he did rule the country by fiat. Franklin Delano Roosevelt issued 3,000 executive orders. I believe he has the record. Obviously, he was president longest. But, you know, for all of the talk about executive orders, as I mentioned in one of the previous shows, you know, Barack Obama did not issue as many executive orders, to my knowledge, as Bush, unless there was a recent tally. But between the two of them, they issued about 400 or 500 executive orders compared to Lincoln's, I don't know how many, and certainly Roosevelt's 3,000. So some presidents have had a little bit more leeway in terms of issuing executive orders or have simply chosen to run the country that way. And by the way, during the war years, Roosevelt was not free of constant harassment from Congress. And you'll recall that he tried to pack the court as well because he was furious that the court, the Supreme Court, had the temerity to suggest that a couple of his New Deal programs were unconstitutional. And here we have another imperious, egotistical, which they all are, president who has issued an executive order, and he expects to push a button in the White House and things happen. And what has happened is a lowly district court judge, apparently a federal district court judge, has the power to issue a stay on any presidential order nationwide. And then that has to be appealed to an appeals court. I'm sure it'll get to the Supreme Court at some point. Who knows what they'll do with it. But I've used this to point out how tentative a president's hold on power actually is. And this is, and it's very important that people hear this now. The presidency in the United States is very much a political office. You are constantly working to build political capital and then to use it to get legislators, Congress, to do what you want them to do. Now, this goes directly against, and I haven't heard anybody on the left say this because they're all still upset about Trump being Hitler. But, Germany had nothing like this. Germany didn't have a district court judge that could stay the orders of, a prime minister, which essentially is what he was, or a chancellor. And the same with Italy. They were very unstable, democratic, at least for a while. Regimes that really were very unstable and did not have the checks and balances that we have. And one of them is the judiciary. Now, we can have a conversation about clipping the wings of the judiciary. A lot of people think we should. A lot of people think we shouldn't. It seems to me usually it's the people that are in power that want the judiciary's wings clipped and the people that are out of power that want the judiciary to be stronger, because usually what they're looking for is judges to decide against the current regime. And this, to me, this is a check. The judiciary is supposed to check both the legislative and the executive. So that's one of the reasons the White House is still a political office. It is not a king. He is not wearing the sash of the king. He is not acting at the behest of a monarch. He is elected and he has to, serve as president for all the people. And he's going to run into a lot of chaff along the way. He's going to run into a lot of obstacles along the way. Now, having said all that, I do think that Congress in particular, not the president, I don't like executive orders because I think they represent an overreach of presidential power, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican president. And I do think Congress is going to have to take these issues up. The courts, they're going to have to take issues up like, immigration and address it. And they have been reluctant to do that over the past few years. And we are seeing the effects of that in our immigration policy, both as it regards people coming from war-torn regions, as well as people coming from Cuba and people coming from Latin America, like Argentina, places like that. So, in Mexico, Guatemala, and so forth. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. I lie awake, I've gone to ground, I'm watching porn in my hotel dressing gown. Just ahead of segment 4 of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show, brought to you by Hydrus, Hydrus. This is the new sports drink that uses no sugar and really gets you hydrated. It's great. I love it. I've been using it for 2 years. If you want to know more, go to HydrusPerformance.com. That's Hydrus, HydrusPerformance.com. And if you are scheduling a corporate event like a team building event or a client appreciation party, or if you want to know where to take your date this weekend, or if you want to have a fun family event, don't forget Brush Studio in the West End. That's where you go and they teach you how to paint a painting. Actually, they don't teach you. They just guide you through it and you end up with a really cool thing. It's a lot of fun. 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700 if you want to call them. You can also sign up online for an evening at Brush Studio in the West End in St. Louis Park. Brushstudio.net, or click on the banners at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page. All right, here's segment 4 of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. If you want to hear more of the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. We are back. And so the previous segment, I talked a little bit about the judges and the court orders. And, you know, every time you have a conversation about what's going on, people get so worked up one way or the other, you know. And it's still amazing to me. It's February in 2017. So, you know, Donald Trump has been president since January 20th. So it's the first or second week of February, right? So it's, well, I don't know, what is the date? It's the 12th or 13th of February. So he's been president roughly a month. And when I hear people talking about this stuff, it's shocking to me. It feels like he's been president for 6 months or a year. And, you know, I keep saying to people, pace yourself. And the judges is a perfect example. See, I'm encouraged by these rulings, not necessarily because I agree with them. And I think, you know, people take a partisan view of a ruling immediately. How many people who take a partisan view of a ruling by a district court judge have read the ruling? And how many people understand the legal ramifications involved and the reasoning behind it? And I'm not saying that's not something the average person can grasp. I'm saying most people will not take the time to look into that and to read up enough to understand fully. They will depend on some partisan individual to tell them what they should think about a district court ruling. When to me, the most significant thing is that we've spent the last, as I said in the last segment, we've spent the last month talking about how Donald Trump is a despot, basically, that he is Kim Jong-il or, you know, Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin, right? And here this little judge in the state of Washington could basically put the kibosh on his big executive order and then have it upheld by an appeals court. Now, I don't know if it's going to be upheld by the Supreme Court, but I'm encouraged because this is how the process works. And what is the end result? I imagine it will mean that he will be a little bit more thoughtful about future executive orders of this magnitude that he issues. And then the last thing I said in the last segment was really what has to happen is that Congress has been loath to actually, and I hate to use the word reform, but to address the immigration issue in a way that is, you know, able to be vigorously and fairly equally, enforced. And it's really the issue. And I've often said this, that the most important person that you vote for whenever there's an election is Congress. It's not the president. In some ways, it's not even your senator, but it's the Senate vote. And to a greater extent, it's the guy or woman that you choose to be your congressman. The U.S. Congress collectively is the most powerful body in the United States. The Constitution has the most to say about Congress, primarily because our founders had a lot of experience with legislatures. And the most recent, and I think it's overlooked in our history, the United Provinces and the Netherlands. That was the most recent experience. And the United Provinces was really almost Venetian in its, a concept of interlocking councils, town councils, and a national parliament. And they really didn't have an executive. And I'm not saying that our people said we don't want an executive. Some didn't. But the executive branch is almost an afterthought because they felt they needed to have a head of state, and it has grown under its own, weight. It's been grown, and the power of the executive branch in this country has grown largely due to the character of the people that have served as president. But Congress is the one that makes these decisions. And we've been living in through a period of time where Congress has been essentially deadlocked and can't agree on some of these key issues. And so it hasn't acted. And this is where I want to get to the final point of this show, which is really important, because now for people who listen to this radio station and this show who are Republicans and who have gone to Tea Party meetings, let's say, or they consider themselves quote-unquote conservatives, and they bled red, let's say, in the most recent election. They voted Republican because they didn't want Hillary Clinton, and they voted Republican because that's what they're loyal, and that's what you're supposed to do is vote the party line and support your guy. You dance with the one who brung you, and so forth and so on. And I guess those are good values. I mean, they're certainly laudable values if you're a Democrat, so they should be laudable values if you're a Republican or a Libertarian, you know, or an independent or whatever it is that you are. But for people who consider themselves quote-unquote conservatives, so I'm assuming for the most part it's people who want smaller government, who want less government involvement in their lives, who want, they want the federal government in particular to have less to say about how they live and what they do than it currently does. They want state governments to have less to say and less involvement legally in their lives. And they believe government is top-heavy and too expensive, and I could go through the litany in the next and take another 10 minutes, and I'm not going to do that. But that's the conservatives. And someone said to me the other day, you know, you're saying I'm not going to defend Trump, and I'm not going to attack Trump, and I'm not going to defend the left, and I'm not going to attack the left. Well, then what do you mean? Well, here's what I mean. I feel very strongly that Donald Trump is certainly capable of defending himself, and I think he should. And the example that I used was there was a point during the Bush administration where he got to the point where he completely depended on talk radio to defend him. So you had local talk show hosts and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and the rest of them who would rush to the defense of this man. And then when he would have a press conference, he'd come out and he could barely put two words together. Now, this is a man who, you know, went to war in Iraq. And I feel that the Republican Party foundered on that act alone. But having said that, I remember a press conference in which Bush came out and said, you know, whatever he said, it was a terrible press conference. He could barely speak. And I came on after that. I was on KSTP, and I came on after that, and I said, I'm done defending this guy. I'm not going to defend him anymore. And people went nuts. They got mad at me, and people were like, whatever. And the next day or two or three days later, Rush Limbaugh said the same thing. And I thought that was hilarious. It often happened with me where I'd say something and people would attack me, and then 3 days later Rush would say it and they, oh, I guess it's okay, right? So we're expected to defend somebody because they have a certain pin on their lapel or they hail from a certain political party. And I think that is the worst reason to defend someone. We have a very moderate Republican Congress and Senate. We have a very moderate Republican House and Senate in Minnesota. They were sent down there to, quote unquote, drain the swamp, and they've come up with things like Real ID and providing, God knows how much money to save Minshew. They don't act like conservatives. I'm talking about the Minnesota State Legislature. And you have a group of very government-oriented chambers of Italian fascism, meaning the Chamber of Commerce, type of legislators who are terrified to do anything that might be considered quote-unquote conservative or libertarian. You know, people like Ron Paul terrify most of the moderate Republicans. And those are the people that you've sent to Congress. They are not creative thinkers. They are not independent actors. They are not going to do very much to assist you in your individual liberty, real ID. And they are not going to do very much to cut budgets and cut the Gordian knot of government, whether it's at the state level or the federal government, right? They could have gotten rid of Minshew, but instead they funded it. And then they turn around and tell you that they're helping you and doing all these wonderful things for you. So I'm not supporting those people. I'm certainly not going to attack them unless they do something really bad, but I'm not going to defend them, and I'm not going to be expected to defend them. I am watching from a distance. And I am very interested to see where all this leads, because we do not have a conservative House and Senate in the United States or at the state level. And we don't necessarily have a quote-unquote small government conservative president. So what we have are big government Republicans. And, it's only been a month that this government's been in power. They have a lot of ahead of them. And just saying we don't like the left isn't going to be enough. There's going to have to be reasoning. There are going to have to be arguments made, arguments that you can support and repeat and understand and believe in. And I don't expect them to come from moderates. So I don't want to upset people, but I refuse to defend these people in my podcasts or on the radio just because. I'm not sure Republicans are better than Democrats or Democrats are better than Republicans at this point. We will have to wait and see. And I hate to keep saying that, but when something comes up that we want to talk about, we will talk about it. That's going to do it for this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Thanks for listening. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show.
Slipping and a sliding, playing domino. Slipping and a riding, ain't a crime, you know. Well, I gotta tell the story before it's time to go. But are you ready for the...
Are you ready for me? Yeah, it's definitely Saturday night around here. All right, thanks for listening to Podcast 600. Woohoo! Hard to believe that we have 600 podcasts, Bob Davis podcasts, all available on the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. And thanks for you guys who are subscribing from the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com, iTunes, also Stitcher.com for Android devices and TuneIn, and blogtalkradio.com, and of course GCN Live for the radio show and the Patriot in Minneapolis and St. Paul at 11 p.m. on Sunday nights, which is one of the reasons I post them. And thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following the Bob Davis Podcast on the Facebook and the Twitter and the Instagram, and for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command, which is getting ready to sally forth. I got some crazy ideas for spring, and I'll tell you more about them going forward. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts, Podcast 600.